Prince Harry spent his life living in the shadow of his mother's tragic death. But when he falls in love, he realizes it's up to him to stop history from repeating itself. In our new series, Prince Harry, Windsor of Change, we'll tell you how a prince without direction became a duke who found a family.
Listen to Even the Rich on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello and welcome to Crappy Hour. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. Welcome to another week of Crappy Hour. It is Monday, November 27th, 2023. It's a very important date because it's today. Okay. Yeah. And in the future, if you're listening to this and it's not today, you're going, wow, that was a day. That's not today. You see how this big circle works? This is our Watch What Crappens, basically Bravo Gossip Hour, where we just talk to each other. We talk to you talking about each other. What do you think? What's going on in your world, Ben?
Well, I'm very excited. Very, very excited. Cyber Monday. Ryan and I did a very wonderful bonus episode today wherein we shopped for deals. It was supposed to be on video. I apologize. I didn't hit record on the video, and so you weren't able to watch along, and I was really devastated when I discovered. But I spent a lot of time after we were done recording still looking for deals, and I have loaded up on the most random shit. I've had just a great day. I bought plastic containers that were BPA safe. I bought some thread for my sewing machine. I got like the most, it was just like bits and bobs. Like Cyber Monday you think of is like, I'm going to get an entertainment system. And I'm like, I got some bobbins and I got some clippers. And it's just like,
You did do some bits and bobs.
It was bits and
you
bobs
You know, I
today.
Feel... I've talked about notions. Aging a lot today. I don't know why. It's just on my mind lately. I think because it's Thanksgiving and I'm around family. And, you know, you're like generations, the nieces, the moms, the grand... Well, not the grandma. I'd like to think Mima was there in Canasta spirit. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was thinking today how many times we've done Amazon Prime Days or Amazon Cyber Monday or whatever we do on the show, on bonus episodes, and just how much we've changed over the years. That today you were buying sewing supplies, you were literally buying bobbins,
yes,
and
this is true.
And soup containers, and I was buying pajama pants and beets, like beet candy for my blood pressure. Okay, so that's where we're at in year 12 of this show.
I'll be there with you on the beet candy soon. I'll tell you so much that much. I'll tell you so much too. Yeah, that is where we're at with buying things. You know, just random ass shit. I wish I could remember what else I bought. I bought that cookbook. It was just stupid stuff, but God, I was so happy about it. Like, you know, sometimes you just need little things. You know, when you're a kid, you love those little gadgets and stuff. A little pencil sharpener as a kid. You're like, this is the best thing I've ever gotten in my life. So I think I'm just going back to those days. So anyway.
Okay, well, let's get into some Bravo goss. Let's get some small stuff out of the way while we're still waiting for some people to join. Well, I guess this isn't really a small thing, but maybe to us it was. I don't know if we ever even mentioned this, but it was the latest rumor about Chris Bassett cheating on Candace and impregnating somebody. I think we did. I think we talked about it a long time ago. But this lady just came out, and this is according to Love B. Scott, okay? This lady just came out and admitted she was a liar, and then I guess deleted her Instagram or whatever. Where is this link?
You know what, lady, mistress lady? Here's what I've got to say to you. Okay, this is coming from a place of love. Okay, I've got my hands on your shoulders and I'm looking right into your eyes and I'm saying, we all make mistakes. Sometimes we get caught up in things we can't control. Things go quickly. But if you're going to lie about an affair, do better than Chris Bassett. Like, aim higher.
Go for real.
Blair Underwood or something like that. I don't know. Like, I don't know why he's the one who came into my mind, but like, literally, there are just so many better people to have a fake affair with than Chris Bassett.
There are so many better lies out there than Chris Bassett.
Yeah.
I mean, you lie about having sex with Chris. You lie about, if you did have sex with him, you lie about it and make it something better. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't even know why Candace admits to it, honestly.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, honestly, mistress, You gotta like follow the zeitgeist, okay? What you say is, oh, I slept with Mauricio. Oh, I slept with Tom Sandoval. Oh, I slept with, I can't think of any other notable affairs. Carl from Summer House. You know, you like weave your way into an existing scandal. Don't try to create a new one with like a low level person, you know?
It's just so level. Yeah, pick a better scandal. I'm going to give this mistress the same advice I've been giving Candace since the first time I ever saw Chris on this show. Want better for yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Want better for you.
Oh, Ronnie, I just want to say, apparently I've joined you in the world of gay lisp because someone said, hang on, what is going on with Ben's lisp? So apparently I've developed a lisp. I knew it happened someday. Yeah.
Telling you, it gets worse. I don't know if my tongue is getting lazier or what. I've never noticed that you have a lisp.
Well, no, it just arrived. It's here. It happened right now.
Today.
Congratulations.
Well, congratulations. You're a late bloomer. You were a late blooming gay with penis. And now you're a late blooming gay with your gay tongue.
Yeah. By the way,
your tongue is coming out of the closet.
My tongue. I bought a lisp on Cyber Monday at the gay store. It's a great deal.
You didn't feel gay enough, so you went and bought a lisp.
My lisp has arrived.
I'm wearing AirPods, and I'm also wearing ear things. And then I got my ear things, my corded ones, stuck under my chair. And so now, oh God, I'm a mess over here.
It's okay.
Well, welcome your lisp.
Welcome.
My lisp is getting worse and worse. I think I talked about it last week, but I was noticing it this weekend. My lisp, I'm getting a whistle now,
like in Me, Myself, and Irene. Wasn't it in that movie?
What is that? Me, Myself, and Irene. Oh my God, talk about aging ourselves.
You know, like,
you know what that reminds me of? Kismet.
Reminds me of the Philadelphia store, eh?
Okay, so yeah. Let's see what else is on this. So anyway, Chris is supposedly not guilty of this affair. And, you know, this whole thing was a blogger, I think Tasha K was her name, who was putting it out, and she's like, I've got the abortion paperwork. Do you remember this story?
Oh, geez, yeah.
Like, she had to get a Chris Bassett abortion, and we have the paperwork. And I was like, really? Is there paperwork for that you could just like whip out? I don't know. It was a lot, but you know, vindicated.
Take that to the UPS store to get it notarized.
That's a bizarre thing. I've just never seen abortion paperwork whipped out. I mean, it's very dark.
It is dark. But I am laughing because I'm a terrible person like that. I've got a gay lisp now, so that means I can laugh at worse things. I've now expanded the amount of things I can laugh at. People are like, that's offensive that you laughed at that. I'm like, I've got a gay lisp. I can pull it off, girl. And they're like, you're fabulous.
I'm now gayer and more evil as well. So let's see. So this dude from Fuckboy something or other.
Before we do this one, this one is, that's, I feel like this is a slightly more substantial story. So I do want to point out, as we're doing the little things first, I want to point out, you know, you were talking about Candace. Candace had a musical moment that we were talking about earlier today. That she randomly sang the Vanderpump Rules theme song on TikTok, because why not?
Yeah.
Which was, you know.
Na, 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 na. She did like a very soulful version.
Right.
The only phrase it was missing was, na, 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 happy birthday to you.
Yeah, it was beautiful. She used a variety of different pitches and tones, and but it was actually okay, but less successful.
What's a variety of pitches and tones?
Well, meaning that she'd be like, you know, it is the night. She was like a car swerving.
You are
lanes.
More evil today.
Yes,
you are,
girl. Don't
worry, I'm gayer and
I'm your
more
gay
evil
best
today.
Friend. You can't be mad at me. I got a lisp. No, but she sounds literally like. Classic Whitney Houston compared to Countess Luann, who someone recorded her right before Thanksgiving at one of the Countess cabaret things, singing Fleetwood Mac, singing Thunder Always Happens When It Rains. And she's sitting in a chair, sort of like, Thunder Always Happens When It Rains.
Oh my God, Stevie Nicks. would never. How could you do this to Stevie Nicks while she's still alive? At least wait for Stevie to pass. This is terrible. This is horrible. You know what? I wanted it to rain. I wanted it to rain and lightning on your head.
Yes.
That was too much. There's too much. There's a part where we're just enjoying the clownery, and then there's a part where it just goes too far. And this was where it went. Stevie Nicks was where it went too far, Luann. Yeah. You've officially jumped the Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, I mean, okay? Thunder always happens when it rains, and we learn now that foghorns sometimes happen when there's no ships. I mean, it was just...
foghorns only happen when I sing.
And the thing that was so funny to me was the way she was swaying in her chair and sort of like tapping at random moments her thigh. Like she was having a real, like, I'm a singer-songwriter moment. And I'm like, this is next level terrible, but yet also with Luann, the way it always works out is that it's also next level amazing, iconic. But wow, that really set up Thanksgiving weekend for me in a great way. I was really happy about that.
Great work. She just really believes it.
She does.
You know? And it's like when my mima would pray tongues at breakfast, you know, she'd be like over her Cheerios. She'd be like, taka tika taka tika. I'm like, she really believes this. And she's just saying taka tika over and over again.
Taka tika.
That's how I feel.
Taka tika, taka tika, taka tika when it rains.
Taka tika happens when it rains.
Okay. Yeah, so very happy for her musical moment. Okay.
You know who I wasn't happy for? Anybody with ears. How do you people just sit there and take this?
Okay. With a smile. No, I'm just, my last comment on this is basically that, you know, over the years, Luann has had a good sense of humor about her singing voice or lack thereof, but I'm starting to think that she's now feeling like, well, I've been at the game for several years and I've been on the mast line singer, so now I can actually sing. And it's like, no, there's not been a huge amount of improvement. I mean, I think literally even Julia singing opera is better than that rendition of Dreams.
Julia singing opera is a lot better than that.
Yes. Yeah. Which doesn't say
okay,
much.
So let's talk about other people who are really believing in themselves. I don't know where I'm going with
that's
that.
That's okay. I like
F-Boy
it.
F-Boy Island. F-Boy Island alum, which congratulations to that show. That show stayed on. I didn't really think that show had a chance in hell. Did you?
It stayed on, and it actually made the jump to the CW, I think. It actually made it to network, although I don't know if that's an upgrade from Max or not, but it is around. I mean, it was a funny show. I just, you know, it was just not quite what I wanted it to be better than it was, but it's around. It's doing its thing, so good for it. I guess.
It's still with us.
It's still with
us. Okay, so one of those guys, I don't watch it, but a former F-Boy, this is page 6, a former F-Boy Island contestant claims he had a threesome with two Real Housewives of Beverly Hills stars.
Yeah.
He says, I took down two of the Beverly Hills housewives. Is that what you say now? I took them down? Isn't that when you kill somebody or you beat somebody up, like in high school? I took them down. Took them Who down. Says that?
I don't know.
I mowed them down. I mowed down two housewives of Beverly Hills.
But you know what, though? As I'm looking at this photo, I watched this whole video of him talking about this. But now that I'm looking at him, I actually recognize him. This is actually the guy from that first season, which we watched some of those episodes. This guy was terrible on the show. This guy is such a huge douchebag. I would not believe a single word that he says. He was totally in it for the money. He's awful. He really is an F-boy. But he basically said, yeah, I fucked two of the Beverly Hills housewives. And then he says that one of the wives' husbands caught him and they just like pretended like there was like real estate and they were like, look, like the wife had brought him around to look at the house for a future sale. But then the husband's like, yeah, cool. The husband's being very cool about it, like super chill. And the husband's like, yeah, we should get lunch. So they went out to lunch and the husband basically was there with some guys. It was like, if you ever come for me or my family again, this will cost you more than you can expect. So he said he basically got like threatened by one of the husbands.
And this is his hint. He said, first of all, this was on the Smoochy Town with Marco Del Vecchio podcast, which I think is funny. If you want to talk about Peabody anybody you've taken down, go tell it to Smoochy Town. Okay?
Smoochy Town.
So the alleged menage a trois happened after one of them, whom he knew, asked him to come over to her house in the middle of the day while her co-star was visiting. He says her kid was there. We hooked up in her husband's bed. Yeah, we got blacked out, bro, drinking this Casamigos. And she called over, and we were just getting fucked up, and we were just like all making out like all throughout the house. So were you just making out, or were you, wait, we hooked up in her husband's bed. Were you making out? I don't know. I don't know what this is, but the Casamigos, everybody thinks it's Denise. And then who would it be? Brandy? But then wouldn't Brandy say something? Because, you know, Brandy would love to say something.
Well, some people online were saying it was Carlton. I don't know if it's Carlton or not. I feel like this, I would suspect if it were Brandy. But
would anybody brag about banging Carlton?
Yes, this guy would. This guy would.
But Carlton's like not that there's anything wrong. Like, I'm not saying Carlton's like hideous. I just mean thirst level wise.
Right.
You know what I mean? Carlton's like one of the thirstier, needier one season housewives. I don't know if I'd brag about her. But then again, at the top of this show, someone bragged about allegedly banging Chris Bassett, and that was a lie. So who knows what people would brag about?
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna say I do feel like Carlton would get up to something sort of saucy, you know. So I can see that. I can imagine Lisa Vanderpump. I can imagine Ken Todd actually sitting someone down and being like, and having some toughs around him and being like, like, if you ever do this again, I'm going to knock your spark out. So I can imagine that. I imagine Brandy getting funky. Casamigos sounds a lot like Denise Richards. It really could be so many different people.
Some people are saying Diana and Erica. Wow, that's crazy. I don't see that. Here, let me tell you this much. Here's my opinion. Threesomes are exhausting. Tried it, been there, exhausted by it. I just don't see why you would purposely do that. It's just so much more work. It's like taking more tables when you're waiting tables, it's like when you're pooling tips anyway. You know what I mean? Why would I? Why? Why would I do that?
Marla Joy says it was new Larsa and old Larsa, which I love that idea. Oh, yeah. There was a detail about a trampoline in his story. And so everyone was like, Carlton had a trampoline. So the trampoline is apparently a smoking gun in the story as well.
Speaking of trampolines.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Not that I want to get Ben sued for bringing up a trampoline park, but Did you see the picture of Alexis Bellino snuggled up with Shannon Bedore's ex in The Quiet Woman? What's his name? Al Gore's name?
John.
Hi, John Jansen. I still am in love with John Jansen.
John Jansen. Hi, Dom, by the way. Dom was in the chat. I was saying hi to him.
Well, hello, Dom. You little rascal. You little cute face. You little cute face, Dom.
Cute face. By the way, do you know when today?
Someone said it's Meredith's face, not a trampoline.
You know what's funny is that I have this article up about this F-Boy Island guy, and it has like this, page 6 has this like carousel of on this date stuff, and we're like talking about like this guy, like which housewife did he fuck, and he keeps on showing pictures of like Caroline Kennedy had like a lemonade on this day, and then like Allison Pill was born, and I don't know why, like I'm imagining this F-Boy Island guy having sex with Caroline Kennedy and Allison Pill. It's really strange.
I know, when I was reading it, I was like, threesome, trampoline, makeout, Casamigos, Bruce Lee. I was like, what the hell's Bruce Lee doing here? What is Bruce Lee doing in my annoying threesome?
Like Ada Lovelace was like, born today.
I was like, I will not be having a threesome with you, Ghost of Bruce Lee. Get out of here.
Okay, sorry. We're talking about, what's it called? What did you segue into? You just segued out of what we were talking about before, and I lost.
Well, Shannon Bedore with Alexis Bellino. I don't know that means that they're dating. I'm not Shannon Bedore. John Jansen with Alexis Bellino at The Quiet Woman, but he is very, you know, like he's like arm around her. Yeah. She didn't have arm aroundy. I don't know. She looked like she was being covered by a very uncomfortable pasty shawl with an arm. You know,
a pasty shawl of an arm. That is That's a great way to describe someone's arm.
Just John Jansen's underarm. You know, it just feels like kind of like it should be warm because it's flesh, but it's just like a curtain of kind of cold, pale just flesh.
Sort of just smells like slow moving boat, you know? Also,
slow moving boat.
It's like the boat didn't go fast enough for the ensuing breeze to blow away all the strange odors of like maybe gas and like sea foam. So it just sort of like all the odors that would normally get blown away on a boat just sort of get stuck to his arm.
Yeah, he's kind of like a walking bar rot.
She doesn't look thrilled. He looks much happier about this than she does. She looks like she's like, fuck, this guy has found me again and cornered me in this banquette, and I don't want to talk to him at all.
Yeah. Okay, that was just gross. I didn't know what to say. I just hope Shanna's okay over there, because listen, yeah. Let me just say, I just want all the houses in Shanna's neighborhood to be safe.
I hope they've all put up protective siding, and I hope everyone is safe and sound. I'm mad. I feel like John Jansen should stop going to the Quiet Woman. I feel like that's Shannon's place, and he has to give that up in the divorce.
He's thirsty. You know, he's trying to stay on Housewives, and I don't know why, because he doesn't really do anything on there.
No.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's Come.
It's almost that magical time of year.
Speaking of, what's your favorite Christmas story, Ben?
Hands down, The Grinch.
Same.
It cracks me up that he hates all the merriment.
Right, and he steals everyone's presents.
But then it's like so heartwarming at the end when like the whole town is still singing and he realizes that there's more to Christmas than just gifts.
Oh, I know. It hits me right in the feels.
Best part is, Wondery has a new podcast starring The Grinch. And I think there's someone who wants to tell you more about it, Ronnie.
Hi, it's me, the Grand Poobah of Bah Humbug, the OG Green Grump, The Grinch. From Wondery, 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show is a pathetic attempt by the people of Whoville to use my situation as a teachable moment. So join me, the Grinch. Listen as I launch a campaign against Christmas cheer, grilling celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. Your family will love the show. As you know, I'm famously great with kids. Follow 'Tis the Grinch Holiday Talk Show on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, people are bringing up Caroline Stanbury's facelift. Did you check it out?
I watched the whole thing. I watched the videos.
Talk about drama queens.
Okay, enough with Sergio. Sergio is terrible. Sergio is one of the worst. He's one of the rare terrible husbands on The Real Housewives who's terrible not for being offensive. He's terrible just for being annoying. Usually the husbands are like condescending or patronizing or chauvinist or abusive or have done a million terrible things. His main thing, although his lack of awareness of like a female body is really offensive, but like his main...
I don't think we're allowed to go there, you and I.
Well, the vagina is located
in
the ear.
Didn't we have to like look up what a vulva was, and we still didn't... I still don't know what it is.
We understand basics of pregnancy. We understand that if the pregnancy is not working out, you can't move the baby from one body to another.
Well, we understand babies at least grow inside a body. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't even know.
Well, also, he was, like, pressuring her to have a baby when it was actually going to be medically dangerous for her. So that was actually, there was an offensive side to him. But mainly, he's annoying. He's very, very annoying. And so now we have this
saga. He's a drama queen, and he makes everything about himself. So apparently, Caroline had face surgery, which is news, like it's not shocking news to anybody, right?
Yeah.
So she apparently went and got some face surgery, which, you know, good for her. Yeah. Listen, if you can get it for free, which apparently she was because he had to post about it, you know, which I'm just guessing. Yes. I mean, I have no idea. But I'm guessing since they were posting on social that she's getting that shit for free, because literally nobody wants to put their surgery ass face on the internet. Nobody wants to look like that.
No one wants this. Okay. I enjoy my sewing journey because it involves fabric. I don't enjoy her sewing journey because it involves skin. And it was like not...
I love it. Oh my God, I'm going on a sewing journey. Hey, would you learn how to sew skin?
Well,
you could do my eyes and my waddle.
I'll put you in a little... I'll just put you in the ground and like send you lotion and stuff. That was a reference to a film.
Someone said we sounded like Buffalo Bill earlier, so there you go.
There you go.
It's coming back full circle to comments that the listeners didn't even hear. But so there you go. Making connections left and right.
So Caroline Stanbury was like, she clearly went to the plastic surgeon and was like, give me the Michelle Williams. So she had her surgery and then...
Oh, the Michelle Williams. Just where you're just always sad about stuff.
Yeah.
Has she ever smiled, Michelle Williams? I think maybe she's physically unable to smile.
Maybe at Dawson's Creek.
I don't think so. No, that started the original depressed as fuck thing for Michelle Williams. That's all she does. She's very sad. Okay, go ahead.
So basically, she has a facelift. So Sergio, he's like, there's like a series of videos he's done, and it's like him walking into the hospital. So then he's like capturing himself reacting to the first time he sees Caroline. Like you see him arrive at like the hospital room and they part the curtains, but he's holding a camera in front of his chest, recording himself looking at her, which is to me the most narcissistic and stupid thing. Why do you have your camera on right now? That shows that you're actually caring more about you, how you are, than like how your wife's well-being is. So he's a ding dong for that. And then he's like crying. He's like, oh, she's so beautiful. I am so worried of her. She's so beautiful. Look at her. And she's sitting there in the car looking like Howard the Duck in bandages. And she's like, Sergio, drive home. I need the drugs. Drive, Sergio. Drive.
So he does this super weird thing where like you said, he's videotaping himself and he's like, oh my God, my wife is so beautiful, and now look at her in here. I can't even bear to look at her. Look what they've done to my wife. And he's making this big deal. And so I think what he meant was, I would like to think what he meant was, my wife is so beautiful. I don't know why is she doing this to herself? She's putting herself through so much pain. I'm scared. Like, they really cut off your face for that shit, you know?
Yeah.
She apparently got like a lower done and then her eyelids, but still, it's skin. It takes a moment, okay?
Yeah.
You look crazy. I told you about when my mom, when I was younger, got a facelift, and my dad was really upset and wouldn't pay, so she like went and saved up all her restaurant money and got it, and then they put her in a bandage, you know, her whole face is in a bandage, just two little holes, and they said, don't look at yourself, you are not allowed to take off your bandages, it's very bad for you. And then one night my dad hears a scream, and then he runs down to the bathroom thinking she's hurt herself, you know, because she's just been through a major surgery, and she had taken off the bandages, and she was just staring at herself in the mirror looking insane, going, I'm a monster. And I did it to me. And I've never forgotten that. And you don't want people putting you on the Instagram when you're looking like that. And then he's sitting there with his beautiful 20 years younger face, like, oh my God, she's so hideous. Get rid of him. Get rid of Sergio.
Yeah, the headline is like, oh my God. What was the headline? It was something like, this was the most difficult time in my life or something like that. That's what Sergio said, who didn't even have surgery. He was there to pick up and drop off.
It's funny because that's also a quote from an audience member from the Countess Luann singing, there's always thunder when it rains.
Oh, I thought you were going to say weird. It's an audience member watching Real Housewives of Dubai. No shade, love you guys, but honestly, be better in your second season.
They will.
I think they're ready to play now. I think they saw what it takes. I think Lisa Milan really wants to make a splash. I get that feeling, you know, based on how she was trying to
well
go
she
after.
Tried that first yeah. She tried the first time, you know, it wasn't for a lack of trying, that's for sure. There was definitely effort made.
Yeah.
So we will give that to that one. Although, you know, BravoCon, I didn't really hear anything about them. They had like a panel, I think, but I don't know.
Empty.
I never heard anything.
I heard the panel was empty. No one was there. I heard that from someone who was there. Said it was a big zero, which I do actually kind of feel bad about. But, you know, I think they got rid of Nina, which I think is a step in the right direction. And sometimes it's all about cast chemistry. And, like, sometimes you have a failed first season because not everyone knows what they're doing. And then the second season, everyone's like, got it. I understand how we do the show now. So, who knows?
Even listening to you give an opinion, I'm exhausted because it's that show. I'm not ready yet. I'll be ready once it comes back. But for now, I'm not ready. Okay, so what do you want to talk about next? I'll give you a choice.
Oh, okay. Give me the choice.
Or do you want to choose
yourself? I was going to choose something, but I would like to hear your choices, your selection for okay. me.
Variety's Most Powerful Women in Reality.
That's the one I was gonna choose. Yeah.
Okay, well, then there it is.
But now I
was going to say Casting Rumors for Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. I feel let's start with Powerful Women.
I'll tell you who's not going to be cast on Atlanta. Vida from Shaw's of Sunset, because everybody thought she died because she posted a picture on her Instagram that said March 18th. And people were like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. First of all, commenters, it's not even close to being March. So right. I don't know why people thought somebody posted she died March 18th. But she posted March 18th, and so I guess people saw a date, and they were like, oh my God, we loved Vida. And she was commenting under all these comments like, I'm not dead. Come on, MJ.
I'm not dead.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I say I'm going to give you a choice, and then I talk about whatever I want.
It's okay.
To
no, that was like honestly, I'll be quiet. That was just like a very funny thing that happened over the weekend. God bless Vita. So okay, so Variety came out a few days ago, maybe about a week ago, but they came out with a list of they came up with the first ever women in reality, the power list of women in reality TV, which I love that they did this because I think that women in reality TV are like we should be able to talk about who's powerful there just as we do like most powerful women in cinema or whatever. So like reality TV totally deserves it. So I'm really happy about this list. And then I was even happier because then it pits our favorite stars against each other. So,
but here's the thing, Ben. I'm looking at a Collider link.
Yes.
Right? Is that what you're looking at?
The reason why I did Collider instead of Variety is because Variety, it's like 40 people we have to wade through. And Collider just...
Oh, I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying the thing that's funny is that I'm looking... This is the link I'm looking at, so I'm not accusing Variety of having this, but it's like the 40 most powerful women, and then it's Camille Grammer.
I don't... Yeah, I didn't understand this.
Says who?
I don't know who made this. This is an editor for Collider who does not watch Bravo, who's like, yeah, here's some imagery I found of the Real Housewives or AI.
Because Frasier's back on? Like, what are you talking about? I need to read the Camille one because this makes no sense to me. The other one in the other ones in the picture are Candy, which of course that makes total sense, and Kathy Hilton.
Right. Now, I mean, one could argue that Camille is one of the most powerful housewives in the way that she endlessly rattles Kyle Richards. Like, she just has so much power over Kyle. But speaking of, Kyle and Lisa are both on the list. Which is not surprising. I mean, Kyle has Kyle's been on the show for a while, but she also, you know, she has been acting, she produces, and she has a share, like she has a ownership position with the agency, and Lisa Vanderpump is Lisa Vanderpump. So that makes sense. I feel good about those choices. How do you feel about Kyle being on this list? Does that trigger you in any way?
No, but I mean, it cheapens the list. I mean,
we then have Jenna Lyons, which makes sense, but I feel like she has sort of like backdoored her way into like the reality category because she was already powerful in a whole different sphere. So now that she happens to be on reality TV, suddenly she becomes a most powerful woman in reality. But like, you know, she legitimately is has done much more impressive things.
Jenna Lyons.
Did I say something else? Did I say Jenna?
No, I wasn't listening. I was still looking at Kyle's picture. Like, how? That's what I was doing while you were reading.
Jenna Lyons, that makes sense. I mean, she's designed things for like Michelle Obama. She's like reorganizing 30 Rock. That is definitely something that like Danielle Cabrera on New York is not doing. Like, she is arranging 30 Rocks in her backyard.
I mean, I don't really get that. I don't get it, but okay. She's also she also knows Beyonce is what I was going to say. Okay, so Jenna, so J. Crew, so that's great, good for her. I mean, I'm not a hater of Jenna, so that's good. I just don't know where they get that. Real Housewives of New Jersey household name Teresa Giudice. Now she's been around a long time, so I don't know how are we gauging power. Did they explain in the beginning of this?
They do on the Variety article. They say it's I think about like influence. It's like a combination of factors. You want me to just pull it up? The actual article. Variety, powerful women in reality. Okay. So,
well, here's her quote. First of all, they're showing a picture of her on Watch What Happens Live. And so she's sitting in front of a bookcase. I guess I've just never seen a still of Teresa sitting in front of books. And it's really funny. And then her quote is,
"The biggest misconception about me is that people see me on television reacting passionately while defending my family and those that I'm loyal to and think that's how I am all the times. But on the contrary, I'm fun. I'm bubblies, I'm Karens, and I'm a lighthearted woman who's persevered through so much." Bing, 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 bing.
You are like that in real life. You have a podcast, and you're just like that on your podcast, too.
Ain't she a sugar mama for that guy? Yeah, because she got a gym. She got a gym for that guy, right?
So Variety says their rubric was these women have not only made unscripted television entertaining, but have also found a way to reach audiences in a fresh way. Some of them even answered our nosy questions. Okay, so I guess they're powerful because they reach people in a fresh way. Okay.
New Jersey. It's whoever picked up the phone.
Yeah, I don't know. Teresa, I wouldn't call Teresa powerful, but I mean, she definitely captures people's attention, so I guess good for her. And then you have Heather Gay. So Heather Gay is also on the power list, I guess, because she's explaining what it's like to be an ex-Mormon or someone who's Mormon challenged at the moment.
I mean, I guess, listen, she can make people wear a bonnet, that's for sure. Yeah. She definitely showed that. And now Real Housewives of Atlanta and Grammy Award winning, obviously Candy. Well, I can see no Candy because there. She produces like a million things, and she's got another show. She's got yet another spinoff that I think was picked up for season two, right? Her restaurant
probably
spinoff.
Yeah, like that's no question there, like Candy for sure.
Orange County's Tamara Judge. Wasn't she just fired? I mean, 2 times ago, not this season. I think yeah. She's coming back for this season.
That's a strange one, Tamara. And then two others that are not on this Collider list. Padma is on there, which I get. You know, it's Padma. Because, of course, I'm powerful. Who am I? Gail. Bless her heart. And then, oddly enough, the last one was...
I'm as powerful, not as Gail's jaws around a bowl of candy corns.
I'd like to congratulate my dear friend Gail Simmons for ranking very highly on the most powerful women in Gumball Awards. Gumballs. Aisha from Below Deck was also on this list, which was surprising, but based on the way she handled everything on this past season, so... I don't know. Interesting list. I don't totally understand it, but it was fun. I just like it. It's just funny to think of how angry some of the castmates are. Like Heather Dubrow not being on the list. You know, Heather and Bethany both not on the list. Probably losing their minds.
I have moved 3 times in 1 year. Tell me I'm not powerful. If you ever come for me or my family ever again.
Variety.
Okay.
So anyway, that's what I found was amazing and funny on that list. And I wanted to share it in case people did not hear about that list.
Okay, so this is just kind of a random thing. I think Mike on our Facebook group posted this. I think it was Mike. Hi, Mike. If you're out there.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike. This one goes out to Mike. Ding. It says Bethany eating a potato.
Who the fuck said I wasn't powerful? Look at me eating this potato. Huh? I'm powerful.
This was not new. This was from September 25th, but I still died watching this. It was new to me. Mike is there. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
So I had never seen this before. It is literally Bethany on her TikTok angrily eating a potato. She's like, she takes out a baked potato and she's just eating like, that's it. It's a potato. It's sick. This is sick. It's a potato. That's what it is. You know what? It's hard. You put it in the microwave. Now it's soft. It's crazy. There's like steam coming out. It's hot. It's a hot potato. They should make a game. You know what? That's it. I'm making potatoes happen.
Also,
eat potato. Right.
Be potato. This is a potato crisis. Okay, she's a monster. Okay, just the way she handles this potato really aggressively. First of all, she takes the potato out and she's just pawing at it, which is like, also, does she have nerves in her fingers? How is she able to hold a hot potato? The whole point about hot potatoes is that you can't hold them. That's why there's a game called Hot Potato. And she's just opening, and then she just tears it open with the same fingers. And now she's just adding things to it without any expression or any joy on her face. I don't know, maybe there's music playing. I don't want to press play and make it loud and annoying. But I've never seen someone so joylessly enjoy a potato. And at the same time, and then she just shrugs. She takes a bite. She goes like,
it's a potato. It's a potato.
Yeah, it's a potato. Yeah. She's just so angry eating a potato. I've eaten a potato in anger. But I've never eaten a potato angrily, if that makes any sense.
I do like the way that...
I think that there's a difference.
I do like the way that she took the baked potato and put it in a bowl and then spread it sort of out to match the contours of the bowl, because that actually makes a huge amount of sense with the potato. It totally, like, hugs the potato's curves.
Yeah, bowls. Potatoes are made for bowls, and bowls are made for potatoes. It's love. Wow. Okay, so this is the last thing, and I think it's so fucking funny.
I can't wait. I please tell
and we
me should
have
thing.
Started this earlier because we do need to start taking calls in a few minutes. But we have to read this because this shit is gold.
Yes.
So I'm on the plane this weekend, and I got a magazine to do a magazine recap on my Instagram plug. And so I, you know, because like, why not disturb an entire plane talking really loudly and recording a video of myself on Instagram. So that's what I did. And listen, it was Southwest. People are so fucking rude on that airplane. It's my turn to be rude. Yeah. Okay. It's my turn. So I did it. So I get an Us magazine, Us Weekly, to go through, and I die. One of the articles is 25 things you don't know about Jessel Tank from Real Housewives of New York. Wow, what a fruit loop.
Yeah.
I mean, we already knew this. You know, that's why we like Jessel, because she is a total fruit loop. These quotes, you could not have made these quotes any better if we made them up ourselves.
Yeah. Should we just go through the list? Because these are all amazing.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead. Right. You start.
First thing you might not know about me, Jessel Tank. I was weirdly obsessed with Sweet Valley High. Both the books and the show. God, what I would do to rub shoulders with those twins. I wonder if it's a Montessori school, Sweet Valley High.
Number two, I cannot stand cilantro. The smell, the taste, the texture. It's like the pavit of herbs. It's commonly used in Indian culture. Oh, God. Us Weekly, fuck off with your pop-up. I'm already on Us Weekly. Do I need an advertisement to come onto Us Weekly? Do I really need...
Okay, perhaps.
Back to it. It's used in Indian cuisine. And I used to throw a tantrum as a child when it was in my food. My mum thought she was outsmarting me by blending it into her cooking, but I was so sensitive to it. I knew it was there, and I refused to eat it, as poor as we were.
I knew it was there, and I refused it. Just like Pavit. So thanks a lot, mother, for a lifetime of cilantro trauma. Okay, here's something else you might not know about me. I had a private Japanese tutor growing up and can converse in Japanese. For instance, did you know that the word for goodbye is sayonara? Well, now you've learned something.
Did you know that the word for celebrating an anniversary with Pavit in Japanese is cilantro?
Did you know that the word for sea urchin is uni?
Okay, number three. Number four. As a child, I thought Michael Jackson was my real dad, and my parents had kidnapped me from him.
Well, no wonder why she thought she was raised with nothing, because she thought she was heir to the Jackson estate.
But no, I was raised with nothing but a few breadcrumbs and a Japanese tutor.
Oh. Then I found out that he was just my uncle. He was so poor, he had to live on the moon. Just when he learned to moonwalk.
This is great.
I tell everyone my favorite movie is The Shawshank Redemption, but really, it's Clueless.
I love that she feels smart by saying the name of a book that was turned into a movie. It's not even a book. It's just a book that was turned into a movie. She's like, this was written down first on paper.
It also explains when they're like, so what was your favorite part of The Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, when he marries his stepsister in the end.
So the hole in the wall named Alicia Silverstone. So we were huge fans of the WWF. /WWE, and I still know all the wrestlers' names and finishing moves, i.e. the British Bulldogs running power slam.
My favorite is when Stone Cold Steve Rock does the people's foot. What a great move, and what a great wrestler. My celebrity crush growing up was who I thought at one point was my own brother, Joshua Jackson, a.k.a. Pacey, from Dawson's Creek. Turns out he's not related to my father, Michael Jackson.
But he was amazing in The Shawshank Redemption.
I just loved anything by the Jacksons. I was so proud when Michael's other son, Peter, directed a trilogy, Lord of the Rings. Thank you very much. That's my brother.
He was one of the finest presidents of America. So I am the self-proclaimed queen of manifesting, and I have it down to a science. Whatever I want, I visualize every day and will it into existence, and it hasn't failed me yet, except when I dream of cabinets without fingerprints on them because my mother's so goddamn lazy.
Yes, I can manifest everything, although I'm still waiting on that bus to hit Pavitt. Oh well. So then... I used to keep a diary during my teens and had written down in 1995, live in New York, work in fashion, and have twin boys. Also, see my father in concert, Michael Jackson.
I was going to say, I think that was one of Michael Jackson's goals as well. Sorry, edit that out. We can edit Instagram it's live, right? In. So, number nine. I used to keep a diary during my teens. Oh, that Ben already said that. I said in my diary, Ronnie will just repeat things Ben already said and not even realize
I manifested that Ronnie would repeat point number nine just because it's so important.
Okay, I think we should end with point number 10, and maybe next week we'll read the rest of them, because we need to take some listener calls. But number 10, my guilty pleasure is McDonald's chicken nuggets with barbecue sauce.
Yes, and I'm still angry at the McDonald's Corporation for lighting my father's hair on fire. What was that? It was not them. It was Pepsi.
Apologies. All right, everybody. For those of you staying on Instagram Live, we are going to be bringing you on now. So go request to speak or whatever. And to everybody else listening on our podcast feed or watching on YouTube Live or our Patreon or whatever, we're out of here. We sure love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. If you want to talk to us and see the after show with taking calls, come to our Instagram Live. Yeah. It's at Watch What Crappens. Ben is at Ben Mandelker. And I'm at Ronnie Karam. In the meantime, we will see you on the regular podcast feed. Bye. Love you guys.
Bye, everyone on YouTube. Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trott.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.